Without further ado, the man who is celebrating, Joshua, let me get it right, Uche. Hey, by the way, it's $1 million. You know what that is in NFL world? That's like paying Bill Colaruto to be on the air. That's what that is. Without further ado, it is my boy, who co-hosts with John McMullen, one of the best shows in Philly. First 365, my boy, Big Z. Xander Krause. How you doing?
What's up, Big Cells? How you doing, brother?
It looks like you've been laughing a little bit.
Oh, you got me laughing a little bit today, man. You're a pretty funny dude. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that.
No. All I know is this. Relax, everyone. I think the guy's doing a great job, man. It's the price of being a champ. What'd you think they were going to do? Go out and make all these gigantic moves? They're not going to be strategic. This guy's got a game plan. He's showing you, man. He may have to cut some angles, take a step back to take 10 steps forward. This is what the Cowboys don't do. I don't know why this is so
what
hard.
Do you mean step back? We just signed Joshua Uche.
Xander, you not agree with me, though, that that's a rebuild on that defensive side now.
Hey, I don't agree with yourselves. A rebuild would be Jalen Carter's gone. A rebuild would be Nolan Smith, Cooper and Quinion.
Five starters?
Come on.
Five starters?
Who are gone. All right, do this exercise for me. The five most important defenders on the 2024 Eagles defense.
Okay. Carter, Bond,
yep.
Sweat, Williams, Slay, Q.
Oh, you went three.
CJ.
Five are gone. That is BS.
CJ.
That is BS. Slay got beat for more touchdowns last year than Cooper and Quinion combined.
He also was the fifth ranked guy in cover for a safety, according to PFF. Let's look at all of it here. I get it. The safety position in a too high safety is always going to be the biggest threats, not the number.
Cilio goes Carter, Bond, and then he lists the four guys.
Hey, wait.
Lost.
Here it is. Carter, Bond, and the four
Sweat,
we lost.
Milton,
Slay, Gardner Johnson, Q, and Cooper.
Man, you got to be kidding me, Cilio.
You asked
I don't
me,
agree
I told
at all.
You.
Our core is back,
Your
and they're
core.
Getting better.
Five starter. How then tell me this on Sidney Brown. How come Vic Fangio, every time they needed a player to go in for
they
Slay,
went to Tristan McCollum.
They went to Tristan McCollum and they went to him, and then when they needed a corner, they went to Isaiah Rogers and not Keely Ringo. I mean, tell me that. What I mean, how that they went to Ringo, they didn't even go to Ringo Starr. They went to Isaiah Rogers.
That's because Isaiah is a perennial backup. Ringo has the potential to be a one, but he wasn't there yet.
So Vic didn't want to put the potential starter in. He just said, hey, you know, I'll wait for you next year, and I'll just put Isaiah.
Yeah, so when Cilio's this funny, it's hard to combat him on anything because I'm just chuckling the whole time.
By the way, once again, though, Xander, I think he's doing everything right. I don't think they're doing anything wrong, man.
Look, he might do something wrong. It's hard to criticize him right now because he's been to three Super Bowls in 8 years, and he's won two of them. So, I mean, we can sit here and have a problem with the moves, but at the end of the day, Sills, I said to people recently, at some point, opinions are overrated.
Yeah, completely.
You know? Give me the resume, right?
I said that
about Jalen Hurts the other day. Someone's like, oh, he's not that good. I'm like, well, guess what? Your opinion doesn't really mean shit to me. Because he won the Super Bowl. So, same with Howie right now, right? We might have a problem with some of the moves, or we might have concerns, but at the end of the day, most fans are probably in a phase where we got to trust Howie. By the way, it's March 13th. Like, let's not overreact right now. And I don't think we are, but
no.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of people who think like that, and I'm good with that, but if it don't work, we can have an it. I mean, I'm sure you'll be on their ass, so, but we'll see how it all shakes out.
I want to remind people of this last year. Will Greer, Devin White, Bryce Huff, Devontae Parker, Matt Hennessy, John Ross, Tyler Hall, some dude named PJ who was DT. These were all dudes signed too. I mean, hang in there. Let's see. One of these guys that they sign now
it's a
may land
point.
Up to be somebody. You know,
it's
I don't know.
Point, though. Or they could all be bust and we could still win it all because, you know, you're shit. Guys, we're $1 million per signing so far, basically. One and a half. Like, this is baby peanut. This is not what Big Sills is pulling in. This isn't Big Sills contracts. These are like freaking, you know, the baby peanuts of the world. I mean, come on. These are no risk. All right? We're filling out the roster, and they're going to continue to use their draft picks. By the way, they're one of the best drafting football teams in the last 5 years, as their record indicates. So sit tight, everybody. Sit tight. All right? I think the Birds are in a fine spot right now. And by the way, how many of those guys on defense will be better next year? Jalen Carter's getting better. Nolan Smith getting better. Jalen Hunt getting better. Cooper getting better. Quinn Young getting better. Zach Bond getting better. Let's go, baby. Come on, Sills.
How about this? Here's your edge rushers. Tell me how you're feeling.
Oh, God.
Nolan Smith, hurt now. Jalen Hunt, prospect. Bryce Huff, fucked up free agent. Joshua Tree, Uche. Four sacks in 41 games. How you feeling about your edge? And if you want to add,
he had 11 and a half sacks in 22 on 38% of the snaps.
Eh. Holy shit.
The guy's got upside for a million beans.
Holy cow.
Dude, he's got some upside.
He's had four starts in 5 years.
Dude, he's got some upside for a million bones.
Okay. The difference between him and Zach Bond, he was given a chance to start and star. Bond was never in New Orleans. Now,
he's not going to be asked to do the same thing as Bond was.
Do I believe that Vic could make chicken shit in the chicken soup? Yeah. To what level? I don't know. I mean, he couldn't do shit with Huff and Devin White last year. Yeah. But he did remarkable things with Burks, Bond, N'Kobe. He did great things with those guys. Okay, I mean, he did. They were great.
You can do it with the greatness of Joshua Uche?
Well, as you said, he's fast. At least that's going for him.
Look at Sir Dickhead. Sir Dick. Someone throw a beer can at Xander. He's out of control and delusional. Yeah, Sir Dick, take a seat. Take a seat. Enjoy the show, guy.
Hey, Sir Mix, remember something. You always have to, when you have a comment like that, you always have to put that with Xander. Lombardi trophy. I told you guys.
No, I'm not the Lombardi winner, but the Eagles are. So I don't really give a shit what Sir Mix has to say. He probably said the same thing last year. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Bryce Huff is a bust. He's a Bryce Huff is now Super Bowl champion. Bryce Huff.
Right. Bryce Huff, a Super Bowl champion who was deactivated.
All right, ready to answer your question. How do you feel about the edge rushers? Incomplete. How's that for an answer for you?
Okay, March 13th, incomplete. Nice. Incomplete. I like it.
Inconclusive.
Okay, if you get a draft pick, any one of them, any one of them, does it make you better at the edge? Now, then again, you weren't special at edge last year and you won it. You were competent and overcomp. You were better than competent. You were very good at the end of the year.
I will say, I think you included, have blown up a little bit what Josh Sweat was. Like, good player, solid guy, appreciate what he's been for the team. He had 8 sacks last year. Like, we didn't lose Myles Garrett. 8 sacks. That's not that crazy, Sills.
Okay. Where are you getting that production from? From who do you think is going to give you 8.5 sacks this coming?
Joshua Tree. What are you talking about?
No, maybe. You still think it's Ed?
Bryce McMullen will shine this year, and he will. You know, his injury is gone, and maybe Bryce Huff will be back. You know, maybe, just maybe, he will be back, or he'll be gone.
Is that a plan or wishful thinking?
That's wishful thinking. Come on. Bryce Huff, that's wishful thinking. Anybody saying it's not is wrong. That right there is the epitome of fandom after a Super Bowl win and thinking that Bryce Huff is going to do anything for this football team. I'm not going to go down that delusional route.
Let me ask you this here. And again, I asked the question, then I go, really? But do you believe in any way that it's just the way that they spend the money on the offensive side of the ball? I know they've got a great resume the last 10 years, but it just go these peaks and valleys that they go through on the defensive side of the ball, it's hit or miss. You know, and they've hit more now on the drafts than this free agent shit.
Yeah, well, here's
does it bother you they spend so much over there and they don't really invest that much money on that side of the ball?
Well, I mean, I don't think that's historically accurate for this team, honestly. I mean, we've had some great defenses in Philadelphia. We've had great – most of our best players that we talk about in franchise history are defense – I mean, are guys on the defensive side of the ball. So I think right now that's been the setup, absolutely. They've kind of fallen in love with the offensive league, if you will, the pass happy and stuff like that. You can talk to anybody. They'll tell you Jeffrey Lurie is enamored by that stuff. He loves that stuff. But I think what's about to change is they've drafted so good that they've made it hard. Like, you're not going to let – I don't care how much you value offense over defense. You're not going to let Jalen Carter walk out the door. You're not. I don't care how much you value offense. You're not going to let Quinion and Cooper walk out the door, presumably, when those deals come up. So we might see a little bit of a change where it gets back to a little bit more evened out. It wouldn't surprise me at all. So when you talk about, you know, receivers moving on or something, I don't think that's this offseason, but it wouldn't surprise me if you talked about it next offseason or a couple years into the future. You know, there's going to have to be some changes, but they haven't invested in it to this point. It's worked out. They've drafted so well that the plan has essentially worked. They paid everybody on offense, and they got all guys on rookie deals. We're a better unit than the $200 million offense. Think about that. The rookies and the rookie contract guys were a better unit than the $200 million offense. So in order for this formula to work, you're either going to have to nail those draft picks again, and you're going to have to get – which is really hard to do, by the way, get a bunch of rookie or young guys to be better than the offense, or your style of winning this year is going to have to look a little bit different, and the offense is going to have to carry a little bit more weight. That's how I see it.
Oh, I don't want that offense changing. Why would I change the recipe?
It doesn't have to be changing, but they got to be more productive. They got to score more points. Jalen's got to get the ball out. You know, the only thing you can talk about improving in that offensive game is if they worked in the pass a little bit more. You know, they have to be a little bit more versatile and able to do it depending on how much the defense regresses next year. So, and I don't think they'll regress much.
No, see, the Spurs don't show that yet. They show more of a running attack.
Yeah, I agree.
With the tight end acquisition and also with the running back. I mean, to me, and if they get Becton back, that's more of a commitment to what they were doing than what they're going to do. And by the way, historically on the Eagles, since the salary cap era, which started in 94, how many great defensive players have they paid since 94? Fletcher? Brandon? Who else?
Dawkins.
Since 94? Okay. Dawkins? That's 3 in 30 years.
Well, there's got to be more than that. I mean, there's the corners, there's Lito, there's Asante Samuel, there's all sorts of – I mean – come on, there's got to be some more defenders than that. I mean, I don't have them off the top of my head right this very second, but Malcolm Jenkins, we paid good money. How about Jeremiah Trotter? I mean, come on, that's some good ones. Okay. You mentioned Fletcher Cox already.
How many guys did you draft? Most of those guys were free agents that you went and got or trades, like Malcolm Jenkins.
That's true. B-Dawk.
Now, most Trotter, of your great history Cox, of defensive players.
Dawkins, Trotter, Graham.
Okay.
Fletcher Cox, we mentioned.
Yep.
And then you got some upcoming in the pipeline now. But remember, I mean, Cox is
– look at 30 years with like a less than a half. Cox
played like 12, 10 years.
I'm just saying the majority of your history is pre-94 with great defensive football players. Eh. It's been a collection of a group of guys. Like that 17 team was mercenary. Same as 22. There wasn't a core group of guys in that 22 Super Bowl. Same with the 17 team. And the mistake that Howie made then was in 18, remember, he gave them all money?
Where I think you're right is like if you look at the top, if you look at like the best Eagles defenders in history, where I think you're right is most of those guys will probably predate 94. I mean, you're talking about Bednarik, obviously, way back then, Reggie White, Eric Allen, Seth Joyner, Bill Berge, Troy Vincent. Trotter is more a little bit more recent, No, you're probably right about that. But I mean, we haven't drafted the guys. I mean, let's be real, we've missed on the draft picks. I mean, we've missed on Derek Barnett.
5 years has been really good.
And exactly. So maybe in the future, maybe 10 years from now, we'll be talking about a bunch of defensive guys under contract. Maybe 3 years from now, we're talking about what happened to the offense and everybody on defense is getting paid. I don't know. It's possible because they've drafted so well.
Right. The last couple of years. By the way, I want to make a point to you because, again, I was flipping around and I think I heard you say something about, you know, everyone's talking about taking a step back. And then I thought about it and I said this. I'm talking about taking a step back roster-wise with really talented people. I didn't say winning. I'm talking about with really good, unproven players that you have. That's a step back. I don't give a shit what anyone thinks. It creates more questions going into September. What I'm thinking is this. Did we not see the Kansas City Chiefs do this, Andrew? A couple years ago, they won the Super Bowl throwing the ball all over the yard when he threw for $5,000, right? The next Super Bowl, the next year, they won defensively.
Yes.
Completely different style.
And then they blew that up.
That might be here.
I know.
You know what I mean? You might have a different style here. So
you have to do it a little better than the Chiefs, though. I'm not going to lie to you. I know they've been really successful. I'm not trying to take away from what they've done. But, you know, like you just said, they won offensively, and then they won defensively. And ultimately, where they are now is they blew up both units. If you think about it, they blew up the offense after they won offensively. They got rid of Tyreek Hill. They went to all those cheap-ass receivers. Remember, they won a Super Bowl with Juju Smith-Schuster and Kadarius fucking Toney, which you had two touchdowns versus us, which is insane, by the way. But or one touchdown in the big punt return, whatever the hell it was. And then they won with defense, and they let Jarius Sneed walk. They let all these dudes walk on defense. The same thing. The linebacker, they let Fred – what's that guy's name? Fred Clark, whatever his name. I mean, they let them all walk, so – I don't know. You're going to have to manage the cap a little bit better than Kansas City has. And I think that's kind of what they're trying to do right now is they're trying not to overextend on guys that, you know, aren't key guys so that they can try and keep as much, you know, continuity as they can where they want to keep it.
Absolutely. Here. Let me put this out here. I was going to throw this out later on here, but I'll do it for you here. Let me ask you this. I wrote down here are the Eagle players that have to have a huge 2024.
Wait, before we do this, can I tell you one thing? I wanted to, somebody remind me of a story. This is a great topic, so I want to have it clear. Can I tell you this story?
Please.
All right, so remember the other day we were talking about CJ Gardner-Johnson, and we were talking about the Jimmy Johnson quote of you don't win Super Bowls with choir boys. All right, so I hit John with that quote the other day, and he had one of the most John McMullen-esque responses you'll ever hear in your life, but you will appreciate it, all right? So I hit him with that. I'm like, John, I don't know if they made a wrong decision here. You don't win championships with choir boys, as Jimmy Johnson once said. And immediately, no thought, no second thought, immediately hit me back with, well, here's another Jimmy Johnson quote. I'll treat you all the same, or I'll treat you all equal, but I won't treat you the same. In other words, you know, the backup running back who falls asleep in the meeting room is fired. Emmitt Smith falls asleep. I don't give a shit.
Absolutely.
So he hit me with that. In other words, CJ Gardner-Johnson ain't Emmitt Smith. And I thought that was so good. I'm like, what a great thing to rebuttal me with a Jimmy Johnson quote. And I thought it was a good point. I wanted to share that with you.
How he coaches.
I mean,
you are fighting to climb up the totem pole of worth when you're playing for that guy. I mean, nobody's safe. He don't care who you are. Right. I mean, that's how that guy operated here. All right. Eagles players that have to have a big 2025, right?
Is Uche on the list?
Yeah. No, I don't see him on the list here. He may have to get on the list here.
I thought for sure he'd be on the list, man. What happened?
Joshua Tree Uche. Yeah, you doing, man. That's my new Jan Monson. How you doing there? About Joshua Uche. Oh, my God. Everyone's going nuts here over Achua Uche. No, Joshua Acho, whatever his name is. There you go. 2025 Philadelphia Eagles that I think have to have huge years for you guys to compete for a Super Bowl. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
This is all contingent on if you don't get Mekhi Becton back.
Okay.
Tyler Steen has to have a huge year, man. I mean, now look, I'll make this point to you that I think the most interchangeable positions on the Philadelphia Eagles, there's two of them. It's wide receiver three, and it's right guard. But look at what they've gotten the last 3 years out of that You know, you realize you've had three different ball players, just like you've had three different running backs the last 3 years at right guard. You had Isaac Seumalo, who went on to sign a big deal with the Steelers. Then the year after, you had a guy do an alternate Pro Bowl year when you moved your center over, and your guy Juergens played there, had a pretty decent season. He was good there. Then last year, you had Mekhi Becton, three different dudes. I think it's kind of ironic. You had three different running backs and three different right guards the last three seasons. I think he's got to show he could be the guy. I mean, to me, he hasn't shown me that he's a third-round pick.
No, he hasn't yet. You're not wrong about that. He hasn't shown – I don't think he's proven to be a stiff. I think he's been proven to be a little better than that, but he hasn't proven to be a starter yet for sure. So I agree with that one for sure. It's not my number one, but I do agree with him.
How about this too, Xander? I don't think he's as much of a bust, and I agree with you. I don't think he has shown he's a stiff. He's not Andre Dillard, where Andre Dillard was a first-round pick and could never see the starting lineup in Philly.
Dude, Jeff Stallone can't save you and you're a first-rounder, right, bro. You might as well kick your feet up in Cancun and get an order a pina colada because you ain't coming back.
Hey, does John have any insight on what they're going to do with Fred?
Fred, it's a good one. I got to talk to him about that. I haven't asked him, but he thought presumably early in the offseason, he thought it'd be a deal they got done because they value swing tackles and he's going to be probably pretty cheap. But we'll see. I'll ask John about that one tomorrow. I'll write that down.
Yeah, because I like him, man. I think he's a functional swing tackle.
I liked him too. I mean, he's not great, but he was good. I thought he was good when we needed him.
Hey, he's a competent guy, man.
Yeah.
Don't you think that Kobe Dean has to show that not only that he's a good player, and he's showing that he can play. Don't you think he's got to prove that if you're going to really put money around him, bro, you can't end a year in IR. Every year he's been an Eagle.
As a matter of fact,
he was drafted with a shoulder injury.
Are we 3-for-3 on years ending in him on IR?
Yep.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, I like the player, and I was really happy that he came on this year and, you know, kind of proved a lot of us wrong, me included. Yeah. I did not believe in him much coming into the season, and I was super pumped for him, but there's no doubt about it, especially going into a contract year. I mean, you could argue last year was a contract year because if he stayed healthy all the way through, we might be talking about an extension for N'Kobe Dean this offseason, right? So, you know, that's kind of gone because of the injury. So he's got to come in, he's got to stay healthy, and it wouldn't surprise me if he makes it all the way to free agency, though, next year, and he might – I don't know. I don't want to – maybe they won't break up the Georgia guys, but we did just pay crazy money to Bond, like for Eagles terms, for a linebacker. I think they're going to pay two linebackers. I don't know. I have a hard time thinking about that right now, but we'll talk about that another day. He's got to have a big year. I would agree with that, but he's not on my – how many are you giving me? How many names?
I got four.
Okay, I'll come up with four. I don't have him on my top four.
I got four names.
Okay.
I got Jordan Davis, and I'll tell you why.
I have him on mine.
Because if you're going to have a linebacking core who had the same type of success, I want the middle of my defense to have the same look up front. I think the success of your linebackers were the athleticism that they possessed, the guys in front of them, and those guys were in shape. Let me tell you what I think Vic Fangio's greatest asset was to Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis was conditioning. Those guys were doing off-conditioning drills when the other team wasn't, and those guys had said it, that we would constantly be doing more conditioning, because Vic obviously wasn't happy with the conditioning of the entire unit. Right. So what he was doing was he was conditioning those guys. Yeah. And those guys, if you notice, what happened? Davis got better in week 17. That's fucking unbelievably great.
Yeah,
that is why I'm pausing still a little. I'm not entertained. I'm telling you, I swear, every day I'm warming up more to paying him. I'm warm because you know why? If they go into this year and Zach Bond and N'Kobe or whomever, they end up having another great linebacking year, I know it's those two dudes in front of them. You can't play great linebacker play if you don't have great tackles in front of you.
I agree.
It's impossible. What made Ray Lewis such a great ball player in Baltimore? Well, he had Sam Adams and he had Tony Siragusa. No, not my college guy, but the big fella from Pitt. Those two dudes in the middle, Ray had Three running lanes up and down the line of scrimmage. That's exactly what the Eagle defense had. And it also helped out the safety play. If you've got two D tackles, that caroms, Xander, to your backers and to your safety play, because the heart of your defense is stout. They were stout last year in the middle. That's why, again, I want Jordan to come back. Let me tell you this. I'll do this to you. If Jordan Davis has 5 sacks this year, and Jordan Davis and that defense finish in the top 10, it's a grand slam season because it's a transition from what they had with established players. Here, let's just say this.
Oh, they'll be top 10. They'll be top 10. They'll be top 10 next year.
I don't know about that yet.
I'm ready to say they're going to be top 10.
I'm not. Not with Keeley fucking Ringo and Jalen Hunt and Joshua Acho.
You gotta be kidding me, really?
Joshua Acho. And is Nolan going to be ready for the season? I do trust Vic, though. I do. I trust him. I think he could sneak that bitch in there. And to me, the difference between being the 9th or 10th and the 5th best and the 2nd best defense, it's all about getting better. By the way, not only were they the number one defense, but they were the number one defense every fucking week of the year, which is unbelievable. Most of the time, you see defenses go in swings. Sometimes they give up a couple yards or they're giving up yards against. And before you know it, they kept ascending. That team from Green Bay, Xander, went just like this. Exactly. Please hit the like button. They went, did they? Can you remember a down week they had?
The defense, other than that Washington game.
I'm going to give that an asterisk, because when you lose your quarterback,
yeah,
the whole entire chemistry of that whole fucking thing gets spinned upside down.
You know what else happened in that game, right?
What?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson got thrown out about halfway through that sucker, and then the defense fell into nothing land after that. They got shredded. Jaden Daniels had about 20, I forget how many points he had in the fourth quarter, and they won the game with 6 seconds left with a pass over the middle to the end zone, and the Commanders won. That was the only time this year I saw the defense without C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and it looked maybe the worst it looked all year outside of Tampa.
Absolutely.
Not good.
No, Tampa, you had guys. I think the heat hit them. I think the injuries on the offensive side. I think both receivers were out in that ball game too. I think Lane was even out in that ball game against the Bucs. Sure, am I wrong when I say that? Right?
Bucs, we had no Lane, no AJ, no Smitty.
Yeah, well, that's going to play a factor for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
The next one is more Jomo.
I have him too. See, I was going to battle between Davis and Ajomo. I wanted to put them both as well.
Yeah. And here's what I say to Moro Ajomo. I mentioned something earlier, and I want to tell folks why the culture in Philadelphia is so spectacular right now, even with the exits. Man, can you imagine being a backup guy? You've got Vic Fangio telling people this. We can move on from these guys because I like my guys. You know what my ears would do if I was on that roster and they fucking came to me and said, hey, it's your time. Man, I would run through a brick wall for that guy. I would make myself so prepared. We're not talking about being handed the baton from, like, if you're in a relay race and you're like 4 white guys running the 4x100. Okay, that ain't gonna work. You're with the Eagles. You are the champion 4x100 team. Okay, you are, and you're being handed that baton. That, to me, I'm like this. Man, if I'm Keeley Ringo, I'm Moro Ajomo, I'm guys like that. That gives me great confidence on the world champion Philadelphia Eagles, that organization believes so much in me that they're giving me that opportunity. Hey, man, I'll sacrifice anything you need. And I would. That's really great. And I think this kid, and I've been saying it for 2 years, I like the kid. I think the kid plays good ball. Is he going to be as versatile as Milton? I can't say here on March 13th he can't. I don't know. I've never seen him play a 5-3 in a one technique. I've not seen that. I've seen him in limited roles playing a two technique and also playing over the nose. I haven't seen him out there out wide. But when I have seen him play, you know what I do? Here's something that Jimmy Johnson always taught me. Always look at guys who are around the ball. If you want to know who you want on your defense, this is why the CJ move is a little troubling, because you want guys who are always around the football.
Yep.
I don't care about guys playing great technique. I want guys making plays. And so I want playmaker guys. How many times do you look at the Eagle defense last year? You saw Carter and Bond around and Cooper. Give me the faces you saw on every tackle. Cooper, Bond, Carter. Sweat would disappear. Milton sometimes. But the guys you saw around the ball all the time were that core group of names. That's how I judge a defense. How many hats are around the ball? And who's always around the ball? That's when you know you got a good defender, because you need playmakers. And that's why, again, the Gardner-Johnson problem for me is, okay, touchdowns, yes. Coverage, not bad. Tackling, at times. Getting turnovers, huge. That's big on a defense, Xander.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think what you're saying right now is spot on. You know, I really do. And how much of that's mentality? You know, you play defense at a high level, because I do wonder if there's a, like, defense is a mental game. Like, defense is a mental battle where you got to be willing to put your, like, put everything on the line to stop. Defense is a whole nother mindset of like life. Like, growing up, I was always outside. When I played goalie, I was offense. My brother was always a defenseman in every sport he played, and my sister was always a defenseman in every sport I played, every sport she played. So I was, like, used to say, you guys are defensive-minded people, you know? So it's kind of a mindset, but I agree with you. You got to have that mentality. And I don't know if this is my concern with Sidney Brown. Like, he's a hair on fire kind of guy, but does that translate to the game? That would be my concern with him. But no, I hear you. I agree with what you're saying. I mean, it's not going to be easy to replicate, but going to have to make do now, man. I mean, Vic Fangio, they're asking him to go through it again. You know, got rid of some playmakers, but I don't think they moved on for CJ without Vic's approval.
Well, let me tell you about playing defense here. Defense isn't a position. It's an attitude.
Yeah, baby. Yes.
No matter what it is, I don't give a shit what position you play. You got to want to knock people out. You got to want to play with an edge where you're going to have the attitude where you're going to do anything to kill that guy in front of you. And if you don't think like that, you ain't the dog I want in the building. That's not what you want, is some guy who's a pacifist over there on that side of the ball who's going to sit there and talk to me about fucking technique. Go make a fucking play. Bring the guy down. Get that caribou on the ground. Go get that dude. Those are the guys I want on my defense. That's the guys that I play with. Those are the guys who hunt. I want hunters. I don't want sheep. I don't want otters. I want lions. Okay? I mean, that's the kind of mentality you have. And I think, again, I bring this up to you with that RC, the guy who was the general manager of the Buford, RC Buford, who was the general manager of the Spurs. He made a quote, and then him and Howie became really tight friends. I look at every single player there is possibly in the planet to come and play in San Antonio when he was the general manager, and he helped build 5 titles in that San Antonio franchise. He goes, I don't draft every player, and I don't sign every player, because I'm looking for the right player. And that's what Howie think has done. He looks at every guy there is and every deal there is. I showed you that text. Hey, folks, it's a true story. The New England Patriots have called the Eagles numerous times trying to get AJ wedged away from the Eagles. I showed Xander that. I showed Angelo, and I showed Howard. They were all stunned. But again, that doesn't mean Howie's going to pull the ripcord on it or the trapdoor on that. You got to wow him, which makes me think this, Xander, that everything is a possibility with Howie, but not everything will be executed.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong about that. And I want to go back to the thing you said about defense being an attitude. You know, there's one of my favorite football movies of all time is Remember the Titans.
Love that
and
movie.
You remember when the defensive coach, I'm blanking on his name, not the, well, who is he? The not Herman Boone, but the other, who is the other coach? The white coach.
I'm blanking on his name.
But anyway, I don't want them to gain another yard. We will blitz all night. And if they come by that line of scrimmage, I'll take every last one of you out the game. Now, obviously, that's not realistic, but I love that mentality because that's what Sills is talking about when he says defense is an attitude, defense is a mentality. I absolutely love that scene, and it made me think of that, what you just said with the defense. And I couldn't agree more, man. That's what I was trying to get at, and you explained it a lot better than me. But, no doubt. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, though. I mean, I said it. I'm optimistic that the team can do it because they've been to 3 Super Bowls in 8 years, but this is definitely some turnover on this defense, probably more than most of us would expect. I mean, the only move, though, Sills, that's been surprising has been what? The CJ move,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So everything else we kind of prepared for knew was coming.
Let me say something to you about – I went back and watched a little bit of Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith does play with energy. I mean, for a little dude, he blows people up, and I've heard Vic say it too numerous times. For an undersized guy, now I know why he's hurt all the time. He's an undersized guy, but he plays like he's 6'5". That's how he plays.
Right.
So there's an ad. You know what? If you watch Jalix Hunt in the Super Bowl, I thought he was throwing the Kansas City Chiefs guys around a bit. I mean, I think Vic's been an influence in that kind of like having your engines ramped up like that, because I think you've got to play with that kind of energy, man. Dude, you got to want to rip somebody's, you know, I try to tell my daughter that all the time too. When you go out there, man, I'm not looking for you to make a tackle. I'm looking for you to kill somebody.
No, you're right. This is where I think people don't understand, man. This game is mental warfare. You know, that's exactly what I'm talking about, man. It's mental warfare out there. You remember the night they played the Titans. You got to remember when you face Dede Cilio or Dan Cilio, baby. Come on! Come on, Nolan! Now, the one thing I love about Nolan, though, is he's damn good against the run, and that's want to. Like, that's will, for especially for an undersized guy. You know, absolutely. So I do love that about him. By the way, you what was your topic? Top players to step up in 25?
Eagle players that have to play big in 25.
Yeah, he was my number one because
– Let me hear your list.
Well, he was my number one because, you know, you need somebody to be the anchor at the edge. And it's time for him to take on that role of – with Josh Sweat out the door, you know, no one was great last year. He came on in the second half of the year. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. That's gone now. Like, I need you to be a great edge from week one. And he's got to be the reliable edge that's really closer to an every down guy that is hungry and is productive and does what he needs to do. And if you do that, if he elevates further than what he was last year and you have Jalen Carter, I feel a lot better at what the whole offense or the whole defensive line is going to look like. Because you talked about replacing Josh Sweat, and I agree, but if you get a little bit more out of Nolan Smith, you know, and he becomes that anchor on the defensive line, are we confident that the other guys can make up what the rest of the edge rushers did last year? Second half, Nolan Smith, you know, Hufflepuff and everybody else that did something. And, well, you know what I mean? I feel a little bit better than that. So I have Nolan Smith because I think you need a dominant guy over there. And I'm not saying he's going to be that, but he's got to be close to it, in my opinion. Number two, guess who I got?
Oh.
I have Jalen Hurts because – you're talking about a defensive purge right now, right? You're talking about 4 or 5 starters on that defense being gone. Why is that? That's because offense is paid, all right? And I'm not saying Jalen wasn't good last year, but you're going to have to make up any drop. Let's say the defense goes from 1 to 3. You got to make up for that drop. Let's say the defense goes from 1 to 8. You got to make up for that drop. You know, you're going to rely on the defense a little bit. But if your team is changing, if the dynamic is changing and you're not able to have the number one defense in the league, that means our offense is going to have to go from 27 points a game to 32 points a game. You're going to have to make up for that on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm going to say Jalen has to get play one of his best seasons ever if the team wants a chance to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Here's why that's important, folks, what he just said. How many times do you remember that defense, given the offense, poor field position? I don't remember that at all a year ago, where that offense was in field position in games where it was poor. Didn't the defense always do their job and turn the ball over at least the 35?
They did, but it was both. Because remember, the offense was built with the running game, and they were so successful at it that they were the perfect tandem last year, if you think about it. The defense, as you mentioned, always gave them good field position, never gave up a lot of points in the game. And the offense, to their credit, when they got the ball, they took advantage. They ran out clock. They ran the ball successfully, play in and play out. They constantly moved the chains, never put their defense in a bad position. And they were the perfect complement. You know, people talk about complementary football all the time. You got to play complementary football. So, like you said, if that shifts a little bit this year, that's on the quarterback's shoulders to make up for. And I think he will, but I'm saying he's got to have a big year this year. Number three, I have a toss-up. It's Sidney Brown or Tristan McCollum right now. And if they bring someone else in at safety, it's them. Because you're looking at that right side, all right, or that left side, whatever, however you would call it. Slay is gone, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson's gone. Now you've created a big hole in the back of your defense, right, up in that corner. You go up against Matthew Stafford. We got to play Josh Allen this year. We got to play the entire NFC North with Jared Goff, Caleb Williams, and the Vikings. Now, the Vikings are, I don't know what they are, but, Jordan Love. So if you don't have a competent body back there, that's going to be where teams take advantage of you all year long. So it's one thing to lose just Slay. Now you've lost both guys back there.
And your swing corner in Isaiah.
Right. So you're looking at a whole new secondary on that side. So whoever steps up, whether it be Kelee Ringo or a draft pick or a free agent or a trade or whatever it might be, whether it be Sidney Brown or Tristan McCollum or Malachi Starks, whoever the Eagles want to get or whatever, they got to have a good year. And they got to step up, because you can't create that big of a gaping hole in the defense. You go up against a good passing quarterback, man, they're going to shred you. That's what they do. Matthew Stafford almost shredded us last year, and the defense was good. So if you give that to great players, great quarterbacks, great coaching staffs, they're going to take advantage of that. Number four, I had Jordan Davis with you. I'm with you 100% on everything you said. If you want your linebackers to have another great year, if you want your defensive line to be productive, if you want to be the defense that you were or even come close to it, you're going to have a first-round draft pick and Jordan Davis step up and be a dominant player on that defensive line. And I'll go even further than you did, Sills. I need to see you in three technique. I'm sorry. I'm done with this. I'm done with any time we're in a four-man front, Jordan Davis can't be on the field because he's a liability. I'm sorry. I don't need you to be the best pass rusher in the world. You cannot be a liability. You can't. And if you're a liability, then I'm sorry. I don't think you've earned your contract. Okay? Because you were taken in the first round. Now they've moved on from other defensive linemen because you're still here. You got to be better. I'm not asking you to be Aaron Donald. I'm not asking you to be Jalen Carter. But you can't be a liability. You cannot be a liability on the field in four-man fronts. You got to have more versatility, at least to some degree, for Vic Fangio. So he's my number four.
Be the 13th pick and the two-down guy.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? Forget
that. Lose Milton.
Even if you take the 13th pick out of it.
And losing Milton.
Right. You lose Milton Williams, and you want our defense to stay as a unit. Jordan Davis is going to have to be more versatile and a better player in other fits. So we'll see on him. And then number five, I had Moro Ojomo because, and I debated going A.J. Brown here because I think the running game is going to be great with the offensive line and with Saquon Barkley. I mentioned Jalen Hurts as number two because if you're going to need to make up for a drop in defense, it's going to come from the quarterback. Well, who's going to help the quarterback elevate? If you already have a good running game, where else does the offense elevate? Right? It's got to be in the passing game. So you could go AJ, you could go Devontae here, but those receivers are going to have to get open, stay with Jalen Hurts, understand his style of play, never stop running routes, never stop getting open, come back to the ball, make life easier for Jalen Hurts, build that tandem, and I think you're going to be in good shape.
Isn't it funny? I see people in here saying something too, and I'm like, so you guys are finding guys you're calling garbage. Why would you like undermine the guys that they believe in by trying to find guys to replace the guys you have on your roster? You're not trying. They believe in the guys they have. And when people in here are going, well, they're signing. They're signing backup guys because they believe in the guy. Don't undermine your roster. Right. Every time somebody posts something, all we're doing is, oh, look at this. We signed other teams' garbage. Well, that's because they have gold bars. What are you going to do? Try to replace gold bars with gold bars? The fuck are you guys talking about? So if they're getting backups, you know what they're working on, the Eagles? The Eagles are working on their second team now. They're working on their depth because they believed, whether you have question marks or not, like me, they're working on their backups and you know what they're really looking at right now? They're building up the 5% of the bottom of the roster right now. They're not working on the top end of the roster. They're working on here's the Jimmy Johnson line. You're only as good as a team as your butt. I'm always trying to replace the bottom five, not the top five.
Right. Top five are locked in. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, look, that's what they're doing right now. But by the way, that's also why, you know, and I know you have fun with it because it is funny. The Josh Uche and the signings and Harrison Bryant. We just signed the tight end. I get it. I understand you're having fun with it, but these are all like, they're very inconsequential signings. They're either going to work or they're not. They're either going to be here and they're going to contribute or they're going to be gone. Like Cilio named eight of them that were cut last year, and we still had the number one defense in the NFL and won the Super Bowl. So they're all very inconsequential. We're getting bodies right now, and you know we'll see how it all shakes out.
Dude, but their names on a board right now.
I like Uche a little bit more than you. I like him because
no production.
Well, that's not true.
He really? Four sacks in 41 games.
You're taking out games. You can't just – Cilio. Let me just – all right. Cilio played professional football at a high level, you know, but he wasn't good outside his 2 years at Miami. He'd be like, hey, what the fuck, man? You don't do that. You don't do that.
Wait a minute. You're never as good as your greatest year. Jalen hasn't been since the 22-year.
Factor. You're saying he had four sacks. You're saying he had four sacks like his career.
Bryce Huff had 10 sacks too.
All right, bro. This guy's 750 grand guaranteed. Bryce Huff is 18.5. All right.
Now you're throwing money in it.
Oh, yes, that matters.
Oh, it does, because you know what? You're right. If Bryce Huff was $1 million, I'd be like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, who gives a shit? I mean,
I don't give a shit about Emilio Acho or Joshua Acho. I don't care about the guy.
Can I tell you why I fucking like the guy with Vic Fangio, for crying out loud? Because he's athletic. He's got speed. Look at what Vic's done with Jalix Hunt. Look at what he did with Nolan Smith. Look at what he did with Zach Bond. He seems to have a type of athlete that he can pull the most out of. And you look at Bryce Huff, he's not the fastest guy. He's not super explosive. He's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not the strong. He's kind of a tweener in everything. Now, he was a productive edge rusher, but Vic said, Vic saw Jalix Hunt and said, I can do more with Jalix Hunt because he's fast and athletic than I can do with Bryce Huff. And I think Uche is closer to that athletic guy than he is to Bryce Huffle Snuffleguss. So I like him because I think he fits with Vic Fangio, and I think Vic is going to get the most out of him. Come on. Come on, Sills. Sills, two right. Super Bowl runs find me another football team you covered that went to two Super Bowls in your first 5 years covering.
Hey, no, it's not true. I can't name it. How about this? Exactly. I mean, you're right. I'm sure Vic is going to find a lot more to do with him than what Spags did. And I'm positive of that.
Vic just made Spags his bitch in that Super Bowl.
That guy's got four rings. He's okay. I don't give a shit. He's okay with who he is. What have
you done for me lately? You got your ass beat by Jalen Hurts, baby.
Sure did, baby. Four rings. Who's going to the hall first?
I'm not saying he's not a great coordinator. I'm just saying, just because Spags couldn't get anything.
Oh, no.
By the way, Spags is a certain type of coach. I mean, he's not.
Joshua Acho. Get ready, man. It's what is his name actually?
Uche.
Like Coochie. Joshua Coochie. Getting ready for him, man. I can't
wait. Deep fried Uche. Remember our member on Jacob, deep fried Uche? Yeah, hey, deep man, fried Uche.
Guess what? You know what the worst thing can happen? Is if this guy gets more playing time than Huff.
Oh God, that would be crazy. That would be crazy.
Yeah, you don't want to see that guy get more. Hey, dude, you praying for that guy.
Wait, I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's not really going out on a limb here. All right? I'm going to go out on a limb and say Bryce Huff is going to be better than he was last year. because it's basically impossible to not be. All right. So I'm going to go out on a limb. He's going to be a little better.
That's right. You basically
can't be that unproductive if you tried. So we'll see.
Let's get these supers. We got, you got it at the bottom. And we also got Mark Schlereth.
Ask Farzi about what he was doing at the parade and why he was right next to the Jacob float. And he didn't come over, say hi. Didn't put the camera on. I got a bone to pick with Farzi. PR said, same take Sills said about Bond and replacing Edwards.
Difference was Bond didn't get an opportunity in New Orleans.
PR, and this is bullshit because PR was probably thinking the same thing. Oh, did you think that Zach Baum was going to be a good linebacker, PR? Come on, man. There's plenty of shit to bash Sills on. Zach Baum is not one of them. Zach Baum himself laughed at his Pro Bowl incentive. He laughed at it.
Remember what they brought him here for? He was supposed to be an edge rusher, not an interior linebacker.
He asked Vic. John tells that story all the time. He asked Vic Fangio, when am I going to rush the passer?
Hey, PR Tavern, go back and have a couple, kid. It's all good. I'm Vic Sills.
PR Tavern's got to get back to the tavern.
Yeah, go back and take a tap there.
Order a tall boy on me, brother. Yep. JD3, what's up, JD? Didn't get you guys' reaction earlier. Who the fuck is Uchan? Did he even play for KC? That's a comment tailored for the National Football Show.
JD3, is Joshua Tree Uche? Xander likes his 4.3. He's got good hips. This is the shit you'll hear for the draft with the guys who were pretending to be like draft experts. He's got great hip. He's got great speed. And he's got great reach for a 6-foot guy, 240-pound guy. He's 6 feet, 240. That's quite an edge rusher.
Wait, do you know PRs? He said, I will and celebrate my natty in 86. That's when you won the natty.
Yeah. I think he's goofing on. I think he's a Penn State guy. He's a Penn State guy because he got that in 86.
Fucking Penn State.
Now you're on my shit list.
Why is every Penn State person the same? Why do they all act like
this? All arrogant.
Even my girlfriend's a Penn Stater. I joke on her all. I hate Penn State. I hate it. I'll never root for Penn State.
All arrogant. Those folks. The only arrogant Penn State guy I've ever seen is Saquon.
That's true. He's a great – that's true. He's not arrogant at all.
At all.
No. Fuck, we are. This is also the dumbest slogan. We are what? What? What are you?
Ryan Garner. We are bad in big games. That's what you are.
Exactly. Ryan Garner. Dean gives me Jay Hicks vibes. Great when healthy.
Dean gives
– Jordan Hicks.
No, he had a really good year. He did. He really did. Got to end the year healthy, though, bro.
Brian Pumper, Kevin Petullo season, Joshua Uche, Harrison Ford, AJ, Dorian, Kenyon. Holy repeat season in full effect. Howie is cooking with grease. Woo! Let's go, bro.
Harrison Ford, he's calling the tight end.
Oh, no.
Pump, how you doing, Pump? They're going to run the ball. You know what this thing's going to look like? Who's the name of that Army quarterback this last year they had? That guy that won all those.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? What was that guy's name? Was it Carson something? What was his name?
That guy who won all those games was up for the Heisman. That's what that offense is going to
look. You were calling Jalen Hurts that guy this year. I didn't forget.
Oh, no. Well, 29-03 gets you that.
Oh, no. F off. How about a soup? Bryson Daly.
Bryson Hurts.
Bryson Daly. Yo, Cilio, Super Bowl champion Jalen Hurts to you, all right? Relative time work. Sills, any chance being a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl motivates you to turn it around, or does it mean you are a lost cause? We now have two of them.
Bro, relative, can I tell you what that would mean?
Wait, who's the second one? Huff and who?
Who was the second scratch, healthy scratch? All I know is this, relative, you're going to tell me. Let me tell you what you got to do. He is in the doghouse with Vic, Bryce Huff. If you're healthy and they activated you for the playoffs and then they deactivated you again and you're healthy, you got a long, you better do a lot of great things in the offseason.
Oh, Uchi. Uchi's the other one.
Uchi Coochie. That's what I'm going to call him. Uchi Coochie.
No, stop with that. That's a shitty nickname. Come on.
Uchi Coochie.
That's about to be a 10 sack guy in Philly. I love you. Oh, yeah. Uchi Coochie. I'm kidding. Oh, God, you're so easy to get. I mean, I love you. Kimbos, look at KC, the reloading they need, cost of winning. That's true. Look at Philly, same thing, bro.
That's right.
Look, same thing there. Brian Fleming says, can we keep re-signing people with hilarious names so Cilio can keep giving fire nicknames? Jahan Dotson, Josh Gucci, and Anus Smith. You got to be kidding me, Fleming. They do seem to have an ability to sign somebody that their name can be easily flexed or bent.
Trucker Beans, stop Trucker. Very easy to trump them.
Look at Trucker Beans. We love it, bro. He says, who will live up to their contract, Josh or Milton?
None.
Neither. Neither. Blaine Minor. Jerry Jones fills the car. All right, we got that. All right, brother.
So you like the move, huh?
I don't like or dislike it. It's a $1 million move. It doesn't matter. It's not a meaningful thing in the grand scheme of things. They're looking for darts that can contribute, or they're going to get cut in training camp. That's as simple as that.
It is. And you know what? They're working on the roster. They're not
the bottom of the roster.
On the unit.
Remember, not even 53. You're talking about 53 to 70 right now, too. Guys that compete with the guys who make 40 to 53, who have to battle with them in camp. That's what they're really doing, Bring good guys into the room.
You know what? That's a really great point. Some of these guys they're bringing in, because you go to camp with 90 guys.
Yeah,
and you keep 71. You're trying to build the practice roster here, too.
Yeah, because the better your practice roster is, the better your whole team gets. It's like the Alabama effect or the Georgia effect. Those dudes are so damn good because the people they practice against are better than the people they play against on Saturdays. If you have that in Philly, you got a good thing. All right, Sills, have a good segment with
us. You got it, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, buddy. Hit that like button.
You got it, guys. Please do me a favor. Hit that like button. By the way, we will have our friend Mark Schlereth on with us. That'll be at 5:30. I'll tell you this, man. I've learned a lot of things about Philadelphia in the 5 years talking with you guys. It is Paisan and Guinea T-shirt heaven. It is without...
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.